So this presentation is doing an analysis of survey data to look at the role of bystanders in cyberbullying. So bystanders can impact bullying both negatively in terms of either providing an audience for the bully or also sometimes even directly encouraging the bullying, or they can intervene positively by helping to diffuse the situation, standing up to the bullies, telling an adult, things like that. And bystander intervention, expectations for positive bystander intervention are a key component of a lot of bullying and violence prevention programs. So you've probably heard about the bystander effect, which is a social psychological phenomenon whereby someone is less likely to act in a situation, often applied to like an emergency situation, if there are others present. They feel this diffusion of responsibility when others are present. And so diffusion of responsibility is more likely when the number of bystanders is greater. And if you can think of a cyberbullying situation, messages can be spread, images can be spread so quickly that there can be hundreds of bystanders within seconds for a cyberbullying situation. Diffusion of responsibility is also more likely when conditions are anonymous and there's a lack of cohesion among the bystanders, and out in cyberspace, you don't even know, you know, often who the bystanders are. They're often unknown to the victim or the bully and to each other. Many of them are known, but many, many more can be unknown. And diffusion of responsibility is also more likely when situations are ambiguous. And if you think of online situations, they often lack quite a bit of context. The bystanders might not know how the victim is feeling, what else has gone on to lead up to the images or the text that they're seeing. There's a lot of ambiguity there. So we wanted to know, in the digital world, how often are youth active bystanders that are engaging in pro-social behaviors? People talk about standing up as a bystander, being more than a bystander, being an upstander. Those are all sort of words that are used. So here we're just going to use active bystander to mean pro-social bystander behaviors. So which youth are likely to be active bystanders? And how are bystander behaviors different in online and school bullying situations? So we use data from the Metro West Adolescent Health Survey. It's a survey that's conducted every other year. It's a biennial census survey in 25 communities. We surveyed more than 40,000 youth in 2012 at our last survey. And the primary goal really is to inform community-level planning and education and prevention, and each school gets a report of their results so that they can use it in that way. But obviously with a data set of that size, this also is a rich data set that can inform the field of adolescent health. So we analyzed data from the high school survey. This area that you can see in the map is mostly middle and upper middle income communities. The data was from 24,000 high school youth with a 90% participation rate. The measures we used all referenced the past 12 months. We asked about cyberbullying victimization as well as bullying victimization on school property. And then we asked about four different bystander behaviors. Each one was asked with respect to cyberbullying and then with respect to school bullying, so eight separate questions. Did you see or hear about someone being bullied? Did you try to stop someone from bullying someone else? Did you tell an adult at school, or did you tell a parent or adult outside of school? This just shows you first the proportion of youth who say that they were bystanders. And you can see that for victimization, we had similar proportions of students saying that they were victims of cyberbullying and school bullying, but more youth actually said that they were witnesses or bystanders to school bullying compared with cyberbullying. Now, which youth are most likely to be bystanders? This isn't active bystanders, but just which youth are more likely to observe bullying. Cyberbullying, females were more likely than males, and victims of bullying were more likely to also say that they had observed cyberbullying as well. Now, before I get into this chart on gender here, I just want to talk about now, we're moving on to now, what proportion of youth are active bystanders. And I don't have a slide on this, but what I want to say is, overall, about 1 in 3 youth said they tried to stop someone from cyberbullying someone else in the past year. Just under 10% told an adult at school sometime in the past year that they knew about someone being cyberbullied, and 18% told a non-school adult. So really, very low proportions of students who are observing bullying are doing anything to, or at least doing any of these three behaviors to try to stand up to the bullying. Now, this shows you the gender differences, and you can see that females are more likely than males to engage in all of these three different active bystander behaviors, and especially the difference is most striking in terms of telling a parent or a non-school adult. So this shows the analysis by sexual orientation, and you can also see that sexual minority youth are more likely to try to stop, tell a school adult, or tell a non-school adult about cyberbullying that they've witnessed. And then looking at victims of cyberbullying, comparing them with non-victims, the victims are far over twice as likely to try to stop the bullying from occurring. And this is bullying not to themselves, but they're specifically asked, are you trying, did you try to stop someone else, you know, from bullying someone else? It's not trying to stop their own bullying from happening. But the victims were more likely to be engaged as bystanders in all of these ways, but especially in trying to stop it. Now, we did multivariate analyses. I'll go through this very quickly, but this we looked at analyses where we were adjusting for grade, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, internet use, and daily text messaging. We also picked the same threshold of 50 plus as our high messaging group. And you know, the analyses did confirm the bivariate analyses that we had looked at before. So in particular, females were more than twice as likely than males to tell non-school adults, and the last bullet here, victims were over three times more likely than non-victims to be active bystanders, especially by trying to stop someone from cyberbullying someone else. So now I want to compare active bystander behaviors for school bullying and cyberbullying, and what you can see here is that many fewer youth who were bystanders to cyberbullying took any action compared with school bullying. So you've got only a third of cyberbullying bystanders trying to stop cyberbullying compared with over half of school bullying bystanders. And they're also less likely to tell school adults and non-school adults as well. And then we did multivariate analyses again. We actually found that females were slightly more likely than males to try to stop cyberbullying, but a little bit less likely to try to stop school bullying from occurring. And for the other, we also looked at active bystander behaviors by sexual orientation and victim status. And we saw the same relationships for school bullying and cyberbullying, where they were more likely to engage in active bystander behaviors. So this is just a summary of the findings, but in general I want to just point to the notion that very few youth reported engaging in any active bystander behaviors, particularly with respect to cyberbullying. They were much more likely to talk to parents and non-school adults compared with parents, even though you know, we know that the schools are required to deal with cyberbullying now, there was not a lot of kids sharing that with schools. Bullying victims and sexual minority youth are more likely to be active bystanders as well, and females were more likely to stop cyberbullying, but not school bullying, as we saw before. So next steps for research. You know, one thing that we really need to look at, and the limitation of this study, is that we don't really know the characteristics of the incidents in which youth are more likely to be active bystanders. Are they more severe or less severe? Do they involve different types of cyberbullying, you know, harassment, teasing, exclusion, impersonation? You know, what are the situations where youth are more likely to be active bystanders? We don't know. We also didn't explore the ways that bystanders could negatively impact cyberbullying. And then we also don't know what the specific actions are. So when we talk about trying to stop cyberbullying, we don't really know, you know, is that something that means something different, I'm sure, for school bullying compared to cyberbullying? And how are the youth interpreting that, and what do they mean by that? Next steps for action, we can think about how teens can learn the skills and language they need to intervene in online situations, regardless of what social media platform it is. How can schools foster a climate in which youth feel more comfortable going to school adults, because they are required to deal with this and in some ways have more training than parents often do. What role can parents play in intervening in cyberbullying situations, because kids are going to their parents or non-school adults more than school adults. And finally, how can we create safer online communities where youth support one another, stand up to bullying, and are good digital citizens? Do I have a couple minutes?
Yeah, two more.
Two? Okay, great. I have two slides, too. I just wanted to mention something that EDC has created recently. We've been working on sort of stemming from a lot of our thinking around these issues of cyberbullying from the qualitative and the quantitative research that we've done. We've been thinking about ways to encourage youth to be digital citizens. And one thing that we've done is to create some online tools. These are sort of multimedia scenarios, interactive scenarios. They're kind of like choose your own adventure stories, and we've actually, you can only see three of them there, but we've created six multimedia scenarios. And basically they are targeted towards parents, but I think kids would also enjoy looking at them. And it sort of takes you through, each of them takes you through a different situation. So in this one, which is on bystanders, a boy is doing his homework, his phone is on the table, it's beeping like crazy, his mother goes to kind of silence it, and when she picks it up, she sees something that looks like someone, a friend of his, is being bullied, is being cyberbullied. And so the mother has to go through a decision process. Do I look more in my child's phone, kind of snoop around a little bit? Do I confront him? And when she does decide to talk to him about it, you know, has to decide how to go about that and what actions they can take together. So I just wanted to show this as an example of an online tool that's available. And I do have a handout if you want the URL for it. So that's it.
Okay, we have a couple questions about this particular presentation, then we can open it up to general questions for everyone else. So,
do you see the schools as getting more involved in helping students figure out what to do with cyberbullying? You said that they are treating bullying and cyberbullying the same, which would kind of lead to, well, students won't know what to do then with cyberbullying.
Yeah, I do. In their policies, they treated bullying and cyberbullying the same, but not necessarily in their curriculum. A lot of the schools did have specific curriculum or events or programs that did deal specifically with cyberbullying. And I think schools are definitely taking action to try to teach kids how to be good digital citizens and use social media responsibly and stand up to cyberbullying and things like that. So I do see that it going in that direction. But you know, some schools need more help than others.
If I got it right, that you indicated that predicting who's active bystanders versus not active bystanders, mm-hmm. people who are victims are perhaps more likely in social categories to be victims were more likely to be active was one of the things I seem to mm-hmm. pick up from what you're saying. The question is, who else is predicted there? Your first slide suggested the traditional bystander notion that if there's a lot of other bystanders out there, you're not likely to. So was there any information about whether they thought there were a lot of other people that were aware of this or not? So that's mm-hmm. one question. Mm-hmm. And then my other question related to this, trying to predict who's the active bystanders or not, mm-hmm. is there any information about whether they thought being active bystanders was normative or non-normative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we didn't have any data that that asked about either of those questions, so we don't know, you know, how many other bystanders they expect, you know, that there were in those situations. You know, we really unfortunately don't have that, but I would love to do more research and try to ask those questions. I think they're great questions.
Do you think there's a difference between private school bullying and public school bullying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting question. Our studies, both of the studies were only done in public schools, and I don't really know. You know, I'm not really sure what I would think about that. I don't know if anyone else on the panel has a notion of that. It's an interesting question. I don't know if access to cell phones and, you know, other electronic devices would be different, and if the kids in private or public school might have differential access might be a contributing factor, but I don't really know. That's a very interesting question.
One more question. It's something we haven't heard from yet.
My question is, so, do you know if there's any research that's been done in regards to just assessing the kids' ability to identify cyberbullying that maybe mm-hmm. is a little bit more subtle, especially since you have lack of intonation or inflection that you could pick up mm-hmm. in a digital context versus in person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know that from the focus group research we did with the first study I talked about today, that the kids did say, you know, we have a hard time knowing whether a comment is conflict, you know, or just teasing versus cyberbullying. And sometimes they're not, you know, one of the elements of cyberbullying is that it has to be, or any kind of bullying is that it has to be, you know, repeated, and there has to be an imbalance of power and an intention to harm. And all of those things are very tough to determine from cyberbullying, but, you know, in cyberbullying especially. And a lot of the kids said, you know, we need to know, we don't even know when we're seeing something, whether it's cyberbullying or not. So that's just from the youth focus groups. We definitely, kids definitely said they had a hard time with that. So.
And we can reserve some other questions for the whole panel since this is all on bullying and there's a lot of overlap between the themes. So first, let's give Cherry a round of applause.